36. Matthew 24, verse 36. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. Matthew 24, 36. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen.
Amen.
This is my topic. I just really feel like the Lord has been pushing me in this direction for the last several weeks. I've had a series of dreams from other people's dreams and so on and so forth. And I really feel like the Lord's focus right now, the focus point right now on his church is preparation. Are you ready? Shall he come? If the Lord didn't tarry and he chooses not to tarry, are you prepared to go? Amen. So I want to use as my topic today. I want to talk about preparation. Amen. With a co-title as, are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask, Lord, that your anointing will rest on this service today. Father, anoint our hearts and mind to hear what you desire to speak. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that whatever is not of you, Lord, let it be removed, Father. I pray, Lord, the element of flesh be removed and that your spirit is greater. I pray, Father, that you'll have your way in this sanctuary through this congregation, Lord. I pray that your will is done. And everybody say,
amen. Amen.
Thank you all. You may be seated. I have this. I was talking to my wife, and she's like, you shouldn't say nothing just because me and you was talking. I said, no, I'm gonna preface it the right way. I have a habit of sometimes making things matter-of-factly, amen? And what I mean by matter-of-factly is if I have a strong feeling about it, I will speak in reference to it like it's for real in a contract. Like, there was a contract there, and you signed it, and you dated, and so on and so forth. I'll speak in reference to it like that, amen? I'll give you an example. Several years ago when COVID kicked in, right? When I began to see things in scripture like medicinal witchcraft, the first thing that, and some of us had the same sentiments, we all agreed. I mean, Jonathan talked a lot about it, remember on that time? We all shared the same sentiments, right? But because the Bible pointed us towards that, I looked at the scripture and when the Bible started talking about sorcery, and medicinal witchcraft and people being murdered as a result of it, when I begin to speak and to talk about it, I begin to talk about it matter-of-factly. Amen. I begin to tell people, stay away from it. And I'm just giving you an example. And when I start talking about it, I'm like, you know, this is what's going to happen, and this is this, and this is that. And as strong as I feel about it, in some cases, it might not be 100%. Right? Fast forward. There are people that are dying right now, and they don't know why. I can't say for sure that it's a vaccination, right? I can't say for sure. So I can't say it matter-of-factly, but I still speak on it because this is the thing. I might say something in this church, but it's better for me than taking you out to dinner or helping you with a bill or helping you with a rent or a car note or something like that. All of that means nothing if you're not prepared when the Lord gets ready to come. If I don't say the things that you need to hear in order for you to be prepared, I'm not doing my job as a pastor. My job is not to sugarcoat or to make you feel good. My job is to make sure that you're ready when Jesus says that he is ready to return and he comes. And when he comes, I want to make sure that this church is washed as white as snow and it's ready to go. Someone had a dream this morning that it was calamity at the door. And while there was calamity at the door, she was given instruction and the young man that was in the dream, because he didn't hear or he wasn't listening or he wasn't paying attention, he ended up suffering peril. I had a dream probably about 2 weeks ago, and there was a very important family in this church, and I remember that I was preaching in this house, and while I'm preaching, I'm I know that what I'm telling them in the dream is in preparation for the Lord's coming, right? And so I'm telling them, here, you got to do this. And I can see them sitting there just kind of looking around and nobody's paying attention to what I'm saying. And I say it like two or three times. And then one of the elders in their group or in their family stood up and they were like, okay, that's enough. And we got to go prepare for this party, right? So I woke up and I said, Lord, what are you showing me? You're showing me a distraction, obviously. Amen. So disobedience and your mind being elsewhere can cause you to miss out on what God is trying to do. There's other dreams that we've had and that people have shared with me. Brooke has called me. Brooke be having moved. She don't just have a dream. You'd be like, oh, Lord. Let me break this down. Let me dissect it real quick. And then you got to dig through it right quick to get to the zenith. And then when you get to the zenith, it's pointing us towards preparation, right? So as I was having a conversation with my wife and my daughter, it was like a segue into everything else. The Lord started reminding me of watch, Brother Eric, right? See, when he put us on watch, initially I thought he was consecrating us, preparing us for a ministry, which, you know, God does more than one thing at one time. Right? He consecrated us to get us prepared to have a ministry. But when I prayed this morning, the Lord said, watch was greater than preparing for a ministry, because we can do that at any given moment, right? I can turn the gifts on to be whatever it needs to be in order to reach a body. I can do that in a minute, right? But then he reminded me, and all this is going to make sense when I start going and diving into the word, right? Then he reminded me of the lesson that Sister Jay taught when we went into the pandemic. The practice before the dress rehearsal, right? He said, when you look at practice, when you look at actors and entertainers or those who act, right, they go and they learn their words first. They go over the script 100,000 times or whatever until they have it locked in the vault, until they know it, right? You see, that's the practice. But then they put on the wardrobe, they put on the clothes, and then they go through the dress rehearsal. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. They go through the dress rehearsal before the actual movie transpired. Now, when the Lord put us on watch and then the practice before the dress rehearsal, the Lord was already preparing us to be in a position to watch to begin with. You see, the thing is you're going to have to, one day you're going to have to be in a position where you know how to sit still and just listen for God, and everything else becomes secondary. There's going to come a time in your life where you're not going to be able to just get up and go to work like you think and just put money in the bank and just to trust in what you got going, where you're going to have to sit and allow the Lord to dictate your every move. Ah, hallelujah. He was preparing us a long time ago when we were on watch. He said, just sit here. Don't do nothing. Well, Lord, I'm bored. Man, I thought I was on punishment. I did. Because, see, I couldn't go to football practice and my kids wanted to play. I couldn't go through all of the things that everybody else was doing. And I'm thinking I'm on punishment. Lord, why are you stopping me from doing all of these things? Lord, they going to the park for a barbecue and I'm sitting here in the house, right? I got to sit still and do nothing. And he says, well, figure out something to do, but make sure that it's consistent with me. We didn't have TVs that we could just turn on and watch to pass the time away. Amen? We have so much that's afforded to us here in this life, and we get so consumed in it, not realizing that it's lulling us to sleep, right? So we didn't have those things. I'm thinking I'm on punishment. And then the Lord starts saying, here, start being creative. Start studying the word. And when I start studying the word, then it went from, instead of just sitting in a room, it went to, we go into the dining room table. Jay is self-educating the kids, or educating the kids, homeschooling them. And we're sitting down teaching Bible studies. And as soon as we came up out of watch, all my kids got the Holy Ghost because they knew the Bible, right? They knew and they understood because we was teaching them the Bible, because everything consisted of the things of God. It wasn't about you just living in pleasure in this life. It was about being able to be disciplined and hear the Lord's voice when he said move, and so on and so forth, right? That was preparation. That was preparation. That was the practice before the dress rehearsal moving forward up until now. The Lord said when she taught in that message to fortify your temple. He said fortify your temple. Then he said fortify your home. Weaponizing it. Now, see, this is the thing. My wife hates guns. When we first got married, she's like, I don't, no guns in here, because a surrogate grandfather got killed on Halloween. So I'm against all guns, right? But now she's like, we got to get guns. Yeah. The word goes forward. Some of the people in the church, they go get guns. They go weaponize and fortify. They hear the word. But some say, well, I just don't, my personal feelings. I don't like guns. He didn't say, did you like it? He said, fortify your temple. He said, fortify your house. Fortify. Be ready to defend your position. Be ready. But we made it about our feelings, right? Now I'm going to dive into scripture. Check this out. Jesus says, but of that day and hour, no man knoweth, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only, when he's going to return. Everybody with me? I'm going to read that again. But of that day and hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Not understand or taking this scripture and using it out of context is what's going to cause a lot of people to miss out on the coming of Jesus Christ. Because you're going to think that you have more time than you really have. My daughter was talking to her. She was like, Dad, let me tell you what makes me sick. Oh, Kelly going to tell you how she feels. You're going to spend a few hours hearing how Kelly feels. Let me tell you what makes me sick. I said, well, what makes you sick, baby? She says, what makes me sick is how they put a date on the return of Jesus Christ when they don't know. Yes. I say, you're right, babe. They don't know. Nobody knows. That's scripture, right? They want to say he's going to come on this day, and then he doesn't come. And why don't he just tell us when he's going to come and so on and so forth, right? But I'm going to tell them, but then when we're talking, the Lord gave me an answer for it. Actually, Kelly, through scripture, we're going to go into it a little bit. But this is the thing. I love where her heart and her mind is at. Because she's looking for Jesus when there's a whole lot of people that are paying no attention to it. She hear me too. So she said, they keep putting a date on it, Dad. And I said, well, you can't put a date or a time on when Jesus is coming, but you have to pay attention to what the scripture says, right? People are not going to take that scripture and use it in its correct context. They're going to misinterpret it. And in that case, it's going to cause them to have lack of preparation before God comes, right? Preparation is the activity of getting ready for some future event or act. So you get up, and some of you at night, you might iron your clothes or get your clothes prepared so that you can get up in the morning and go to work, right? Some of you who have businesses or whatever, you have to lay out everything and prep so that the account can be done. That's what we do in catering. There's preparation, right? See, we can't just go the day of and try to feed 200 people. It doesn't work like that. There's preparation that goes into that. She has to go and she has to figure out how many people we're going to feed and how many pounds of meat or protein is going to suffice a 200-person crowd. It's preparation that goes into it, but if the preparation is done, then the account is never. You see, it's the same thing when it comes to your walk with God. If the preparation is not taken care of, then you're going to miss when God really is going to return. You're going to miss what this whole thing was all about, all because you wasn't prepared. Ah, hallelujah. Then he goes on to say, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit, right? See, when I was a kid, when I was probably Little Richard's age, right? When I was a kid, I would go to church with my mom, right? And they say, Jesus is coming back. And I'd be like, well, I don't even know who Jesus is. I'm ready to go home and play football. Right? I'm ready to go to the park with my friends. I'm ready to go in the basement and play Tecmo Bowl. I ain't worried about all that, right? Fast forward, time grows. I become a grown man and I have a daughter. And so now my mind is changing. Now I kind of want to be spiritual a little bit, right? My mindset is changing because I got a little girl and I'm thinking, oh man, well, if something happens to me because of what I'm doing, well, who's going to take care of my daughter? So you start praying a little bit, Lord, you know, show me yourself and show me who you are because I got a daughter, you know, and so on and so forth. And so, but you still kind of flirt. You still kind of do whatever it is that you're going to do with the world and so on and so forth. And so that's what I did. I go to church from time to time and then sometimes I wouldn't. Then I had a son. Now it's different. It's like, okay, Lord, what's going to happen with my babies if something happens to me? So now when I go out, I can't even party the same way. See, I don't know about everybody else, but I start thinking about things different when I had something else that was relying on me. You see, I couldn't move the same way I was moving when I had babies. I couldn't do the same things that I used to do when I got kids to take care of, right? I couldn't do the same thing. So now I'm going to the clubs, and when I go to the club, I'm still partying, but my prayers are different, right? Under what I knew at that time to be salvation, I would walk up to the door and I'd be like, Lord, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose with me. I confess with my mouth and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior before I go into this nightclub. And I pray, Lord, that if it all pops off at the end, that you will take my soul and take care of my babies. Every time I go to the club, that's what I'm saying. I'm praying a prayer every time. One night I was getting ready to go out, and Sister Jay was teaching me Bible study. She says, how do you know you said it? I said, because I confess with my mouth, and I believe with my heart, and I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm good. I'm going to go get a yak right now. She says, well, we'll get to that part in the Bible study at some point in time. Remember that? I said, all right. Right. Then I start reading the scriptures myself. And the Bible says that he that has not received the spirit of adoption is none of mine. What's that mean? What's that mean? She's sitting there looking like, did you get his spirit? I thought I did when I confessed. She said, you sure got a lot of faith. I said, I know. Right. He that has not received the spirit of adoption is none of mine. So I'm sitting back like, wait a minute. I'm going to keep confessing, though. Right? Time flies by a little bit. Now we get to the scripture. We get into the meat of it. Where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water or born again, he can no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, okay. Jesus says you got to be born again. Nicodemus is questioning, what is that? How you going to come out of your mother's womb a second time? He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he can no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. He can't enter. Okay, hold up. That's different, you see, because modern day Christianity want to put it all on Paul, but the last thing I knew, Jesus' word trumped Paul's, right? It trumped Paul's, right? So if Jesus is saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and of the spirit, that means that it's more than just a verbal confession. So then I start studying words about consecration, sanctification. When Paul opens up his statement, he says, for those of the saints that be at Corinth or the saints that be at Rome, when he says saints, what he's saying, when you look up that word saint, the word saint means sanctified and separated unto God. That means he sanctified you, he's consecrated you. So when he opens up his introduction in those Bibles, he's talking to spirit-filled Christians already. But when he was talking to those people in the scripture, he was talking to Italians, and he tells them, listen, we knew who you used to trust in. We knew who you used to believe in. We know who you used to follow. But if you confess and repent, believe that Jesus is your God, then salvation is going to be extended to you. Where does that come to fruition? It comes to fruition in the book of Acts chapter 10 when he sends Peter to go preach to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius and his house was filled with the Holy Ghost and was baptized in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, verily, verily. Verily, verily. Everybody say, verily.
Verily.
Verily. Verily. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a nugget right here. When your kids are getting out of line, you say, verily, verily, I'm going to beat that butt. You teach them what verily means. Verily, verily. Verily means that there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Verily means that it don't matter how you personally feel or what your mama or your grandparents or somebody taught you when you was younger. Jesus' word trumps theirs too. Verily, verily, I say that if you're not born of the water and of the spirit, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. That's what he said. Then he starts describing it. The wind blows, and you can hear it. You can hear where the wind blows in. If the wind starts blowing right now, you can hear it. You can feel it, right? It's going to make a sound. You're going to feel it. You're going to hear it. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Amen. I read that. I said, oh, man, I'm not saved. Because that didn't happen for me. But see, God is so good that he wants you to be prepared, right? So I had a choice. Am I going to walk in obedience to what's being taught to me, or am I going to move in my personal feelings? You see, your personal feelings can lead you to hell and not even have the preparation that you need in order to see Jesus in peace. So here it is, I'm saved now. I start studying the word, but something compelled me to start digging and diving into end time Bible prophecy. Most people be scared of the book of Revelation. Me, Brother Eric, and a few other men, we was up every weekend going through Bible studies and looking at a Bible scholar teaching about the end time Bible prophecy and how things was going to unfold. So as a kid, when I heard Jesus is coming back and he's going to return, it meant different when I understood the scriptures. You see, as a man today, I can tell you without a shadow of doubt that Jesus is going to return soon, because there's so many things that's going on and that's transpiring in the earth today, and it's correlating with what's in the Bible. And that's how you start understanding that this thing is real.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Right off the back, what you can see, just like it was then as it is today, there's no new thing under the sun. What you think is new and it's like this and this is how we supposed, let me tell you, there ain't nothing that you've done that hasn't been done before. In the Old Testament, it said they were giving and drinking and marrying, and in essence, they were just living their lives, doing them. Everybody feel me? See, that's what happens now. Everybody's still living and doing themselves today. Now we ain't just fighting with marriage and drinking, now we fight with pronouns. A man, if he want to be a woman, he can say I'm them or I'm they. And they write a law to govern it and so on and so forth. Another distraction, right? That's not even my message. But everybody is doing the same thing as what happened in the flood, right? Jesus told his disciples that there was none greater than John the Baptist. Y'all remember that? But then he says, but he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because it was going to take a whole lot of faith and a whole lot of obedience for you to follow a God that you couldn't see. They got to see him in person. They got to walk with him. He was talking to them face to face, but he was giving them instructions. He was talking face to face to them. But he says, you're the generation that's going to be greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because you have the faith to hear his voice, and you have the faith to wait on him, and you have the faith to believe that when he's speaking, he's going to help you to be prepared. Shall he not tarry? One of the reasons that we have more faith than John the Baptist is, that's thousands of years ago, and we still believe in the great I am. How many of you still believe in the great I am? When they went to Jesus and they said, who are you? He says, I am. I am that I am. That's what he was saying, because he was the Jehovah of the Old Testament. You see, we can't eradicate Jesus and expect God to We want to move Jesus out the picture and look for God. Let me tell you something. When he comes in them clouds, it's going to be Jesus with his army of angels. When he comes, it's going to be one God. It ain't going to be no Trinity. When he comes. Now, this is the thing. He says, for as in the days of Noah, during the flood, they eat, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're doing whatever they want to do, sowing their royal oath, so to speak. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Right? So going back to the conversation I was having with my daughter, this is the thing. Right? Noah didn't know the exact date that the Lord was going to flood the earth. But the Lord was speaking to him so that he would be prepared.
Right?
You might not know when I'm going to return, but Noah built the ark. Build the ark, Noah. You don't know when I'm going to kill off everybody. You don't know when I'm coming to judge the earth. Build the ark, Noah. Noah got to build it. Right? You see, but we got it easy. We got it real easy. Let me tell you how you got it easy. See, Jesus is the ark. Did you know that? You see, the Bible says, never forsake the assembling of ourselves today, oh hallelujah, as the day draws nigh, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. That means that we need to be together and congregating as much as we can. We need to be coming together and congregating as much as we can. But you still have people that have everything else and every other excuse to not obey that one little thing Jesus said, never forsake. He didn't say when it's convenient for your schedule.
Right.
Yeah, we'll do it in a heartbeat. Oh, I ain't going to church today. I don't feel like it. Too far. I'm just keeping it real. I sit at home sometimes and that flesh will raise up. I'll be like, I sure don't feel like preaching today. I do. I'll be like, but Lord, I got to get up. I got to go. I got stuff to do. Amen. Because the flesh be weak sometimes, but the spirit got to be stronger. You see, sometimes you got to break yourself up out of some stuff. Amen. Sometimes you got to, hallelujah, you got to break yourself up out of some situations that have you bound and that's holding you captive. You got to be willing to push away. Say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Lord, you have my 100% total attention because you're the only thing that's certain in this life that's going to keep me going. So Noah knew that God was going to flood the earth. So he built the ark. You see, that's preparation, right? Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken away, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, then the other shall be taken, and one left because of lack of preparation. Am I making sense? They're just not prepared. Let me tell you something. He says, watch therefore. Watch therefore. Everybody say, watch therefore.
Watch therefore.
Now I'm going to back up. He says, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore. Watch therefore. Watch. If you don't remember anything, watch therefore. Let me tell you why you watch therefore. It's right here. He says, that word watch in the original Greek, it means to be awake and to be vigilant. To be vigilant means to carefully observe and be attentive to it, on the lookout for potential danger. So if you're distracted doing everything else, you can't even see the danger that's knocking at your door. If you're too busy trying to party, you can't even see the danger that's knocking at the door. If you're too busy just doing you, you can't see the danger that's lurking at the door. So Jay comes in after I'm talking to Kelly, and she's like, Kelly, what's for certain is you better make sure that you got it right every day. You see, you're worried about a date, but the truth is you just need to be prepared. That's all that counts. Because if you stay ready, you ain't got to. You got to be prepared. That means that I ain't got time to be playing around living in sin. I got to get my situation together. I got to quit playing around. I got to make some big boy and big girl decisions. That means that I got to put all away the childish ways and put away those things that I used to do in exchange for the glory and the goodness of God so that I can be prepared. Then he drops another hint. He says, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up, right? Let me simplify it. If I know you're breaking in my house, you're a dead man walking. Am I right, Jonathan? If I know you're breaking in my house and you're plotting, I'm waiting for you. But see, there's preparation before I can get to that, right? If my temple ain't fortified, how am I protecting my house? How am I going to protect it? You can come up in there where you're ready or not, right? You think, what you going to do? Because I guarantee you somebody on the other side of the door going to be weaponized.
Right.
But see, when you're preparing, the preparation that goes into that is what? You might get you some cameras. You know, that might help you. You know, that's a weapon too. Because you can see them on the camera, scare them off possibly. When you record, you can hit the siren or some of it automatically called and alert the police and, so, and things of that nature. You might be scared of guns. That's right. There's other ways to take care of your house. But you make the preparation because why? You know the thief is coming to your house to take something that belongs to you. Right? Jesus told him, if you knew that the thief was going to come, you wouldn't suffer loss. Duh. If you knew he was coming, you make the preparations to take care of your house. But see, here's the thing about the thief. You don't know when they're coming. You don't even know what time they're going to pull up to your house.
You just know that they're coming, and you're prepared waiting for when they do come. You got something for them, right? You got something ready to go. Am I preaching? Maybe I'm just like that. I don't know. I don't know. Brother, you from New York. You like that, right? I don't know, but I still got that in me, right? But I just know how to submit that portion of me to God so that he can tell me when to move and when not. Right. See, that's the key. Right. But Jesus told him, the thief is going to come, and if you knew that the thief was coming, you'd be ready to go. You'd be ready. You'd be making all the preparations for when he comes and so on and so forth. This is what's going to happen. Jesus was correlating that to your walk with God. He was saying, you know that I'm coming. Why aren't you making the preparations for my return? And see, when I do come, you won't have to worry about being left in the middle or left here or left there. Why? Because you made the preparations. You was waiting and you was looking for me. So what that means is now we live in a day and age, and this is the first part of a couple of messages, right? Now we live in that time where you better start watching and looking at how the things are unraveling in the world and how they correlate to scripture. You need to be watching with all diligence. You need to be watching and asking questions, and you need to be making sure that when you pray, that, Lord, is there something that I need to do to prepare? Because right now we are on the brink of, I don't know how many wars, but potential world conflict. Anything that touches the world, that means that something in the Bible or some trumpet or some sound or some vial or something is sounding. Everybody just, I want to buy me a rental property. I'm going to buy this. I'm buying that. No. No. You might not even be able to chill in that. And I'm not saying this matter-of-factly, but I'm saying that it's a strong possibility. We make the preparations and plans to leave an inheritance. Jesus has to be your main inheritance. Right. Right. He says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is going to return. Stand with me. I'm not trying to scare anybody. Brother Jonathan made a statement about a brother that was here. He says, I feel stronger when that brother is present. And I'm going to amplify that statement. I feel stronger when I know that who's supposed to be here is here.
Amen.
Why? Because that's the zenith of ministry, is when the people that God has entrusted you with is in their position. They're not distracted and doing all of the extra. When they're in a position and they're moving according to what God wants them to do, that's the zenith of ministry. It's not money. It's not what we can acquire. The zenith of ministry is making sure that when I go see Jesus, he said, good job. You got them prepared. My goodness, servant, you did well. Because none of this matters to me if I don't have you in position. He said, be prepared. Some of you get mad at me. Some of you have been mad at me. That's all right. I get it. You can be mad at me. That's cool. Right? But at the end of the day, everything that I'm doing is going to line up with the scripture.
Amen.
If it's not right, and that applies to me too, if it's not right, God has to clean it up. Simple as that. If it's a hindrance, God got to remove the hindrance so you can move forward and you're not going anywhere. If it's a distraction and you too consumed in it, then God has to redirect your attention so that you can be where you need to be, because that's his desire, is for you to go with him. He said, it's my desire that none should perish. My people perish for lack of knowledge. It's because they're not in a position to learn. They're not in a position to receive. They're too busy doing whatever it is that they want to do. And he says in the end days that the love of many is going to wax cold. That means that there's a lot of people that's going to fall to the wayside that ain't going to make it in this thing. And we might look at them and say that they're good people and they're great people, but it don't mean that they're going to see Jesus in peace, because they're not prepared. But I'm going to do my job the best I can. If I've offended you because I was matter-of-factly, I apologize when Jesus comes. I'm serious. After the Lord told me to talk about, and I'm going to shut up after this. After the Lord told me to talk about Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, or 22, 21, he says, after a third of mankind was killed, they still wouldn't repent for being lovers of money, the works of man's hands, property, real estate, things of that nature. But then when you keep going, it says, and they still wouldn't repent for their sorcery. When you look up that word sorcery, it comes from the root word pharmakia. Pharmakia meaning pharmacist. And when you look up the definition of pharmakia, it's medicinal witchcraft. That means that they are trying to kill you medicinally. I said, don't go and get the vaccination. It's medicinal witchcraft. And some people went and done it anyway. One of my friends took the vaccination in January. By March, his lungs that failed him and he died. Sudden lung death. They couldn't put it on the vaccination. Jason Keach, that's not matter of factly. Well, that sure is coincidental. All these young people having sudden cardiac arrest. 19, 20 years old, suddenly falling and dying. And we don't believe that the vaccination has something to do with that? That's who I'm talking about. Friends coming to me, hey, I gotta pray. I need y'all to pray. Why? I got blood clots in my heart. Practice before the dress rehearsal. God is trying to protect. God is trying to preserve. We need you here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you confirm the words that I spoke today. It's not about me, Lord. It's in your word. It's right there. But I pray that you confirm it. However it's needed. Lord, my desire is that we're ready to go. I'll look for you. I'll watch for you. I'll look for you. I'll watch for you. Thank you, Father, for giving us your grace, Lord, the time to prepare, Lord. Thank you for teaching us what watch really is. Lord, thank you for going before us, Lord, so that we know what to be looking for. Father, I thank you for the truth that you declared in my life. Father, I thank you for opening my eyes to who you are, Lord, and the revelation of your deity, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you gave me the spirit of adoption, making me your child, Lord. And that I'm within your good grace and your good mercy, Lord, that you will give me everything that I need so that I'm prepared to receive you. In glory. I thank you, Lord God, for never leaving or forsaking me, Lord, for never failing me, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your truth. I thank you, Father, for your correction. I thank you, Father, that you told me in your word, Lord. Therefore, there's no condemnation. Even when I mess up, Lord, you still love me. I still have the opportunity to get it right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for your affection towards me. Thank you, Lord, that is your desire, that I'm prepared and ready. Jesus.